Are you the new tenant? I just saw the tenant like 10 minutes ago standing in the doorway.
Oh, I hate to break it to you, but there is no person in number 5.
You have to understand that there is a war waging in heaven.
Satan, come to us. We are ready. Satan, come to us. We are ready. Satan, come to us. We are ready.
Goddamn club, aren't I?
How I've waited for you to come. I've been here all along. Now that you've arrived.
Hey, everybody, this is Justin.
And Anna.
And we are here this week to talk about Lords of Salem for the Reddit Horror Club. So I guess without further ado, I think we'll jump right into it.
And now our feature presentation.
What do you think about Lords of Salem?
Oh, man. I got a lot of opinions on this.
Okay.
Like, that's weird as shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could handle an entire movie that's just mostly Sherry Moon Zombie.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it was fine in Devil's Rejects when there were other people supporting, rounding out the cast.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
We have Bill Moseley, who's awesome, and Sid Haig, who's awesome. So that kind of helps.
They help a lot, but towards the end, it's just the witches and her, and it's pretty fucking out there.
Oh yeah. No, so this particular movie, I can't decide if I like it. See, the thing is, the first time I saw it, I think I liked it. Then I just watched for the second time, and I don't know that I do, but I also don't know that I don't. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, there's something about the movie that resonates in, like, the atmosphere that I like, but it just, there's a lot of stuff that I just, I feel like it's super duper slow.
Very slow.
Yeah, and, like, there are times where, like, the slow, ominous feelings feel right. Like, they feel like they're good, and there's other times where it's just, like, slow. And I don't know why. Like, it feels like there needs to be something else going on. And there isn't. Like, there just really is nothing going on.
Right. I kind of wish that the end was more of a payoff.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. I actually wrote in my Letterboxd review, which is a whopping, like, paragraph long. But the one thing I did say is it reminded me of films that, like, are all about, like, this weird buildup to come to, like, some huge payoff. Like, even though it's a completely different theme and different style, it reminds me of Society, for example, which I love, where it's like, you know, it's just it's kind of weird, weirdly paced, and there's kind of weird stuff going on, but then there's a huge, ridiculous, gooey payoff at the end. This time, I felt like it was leading towards a huge payoff, and then it just didn't deliver.
Yeah, it just kind of fizzled out at the end, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, and even when, like, the payoff starts to happen, it feels like, okay, all right, it's gonna be worth it. And then it just kind of, it's done.
Yeah, and it's like, just not, yeah. It wasn't worth it.
Agreed. I will say the first thing when I started watching the movie that jumped out was the first scene is literally the most nudity I've ever seen in a scene and be turned off by. Like, there was absolutely nothing sexy about that scene, and it was just all nude women. And that's a rarity. As a guy watching a scene like that.
Oh, God. Like, when they first started, like, ripping their clothes off, the old witches, and I'm like, oh, their bodies are just hideous. Mm-hmm. And which I know is what he was going for, but nailed it, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, that's her first scene. Like, that's, yeah. That's, you start off the bat with, like, that, and in a weird way, it's probably the most payoff scene in the beginning. So
yeah.
It's kind of all downhill from there, like, you know, in a lot of sense, even though that was horrible to watch, but I think it was horrible to watch because it was meant to be. I definitely don't think like there was any other great stuff. Like, the concept of the movie intrigues me. You know, the idea of this record that, you know, awakens, you know, something in someone. And it kind of
right.
controls them, and, you know, I kind of dig that, and I kind of dig the setup of this, like, late night, you know, talk show thing on a radio, and I kind of dig all, like, the setup, and then it just doesn't hit. Like, it's, yeah, it just
yeah.
doesn't. And I'm not really sure
what
they're going for.
What I love about this movie, kind of in a joking way, is like, okay, so they have that pan where it's like number one radio crew, blah blah blah, you know, and then
right.
they have pictures of them and the bright colors,
right?
But then you find out like what their talk show is about,
uh-huh.
and you're like, there's no way that is a number one talk show anywhere.
No, yeah, oh yeah, we talked to like these satanic people and these crazy black metalers, like, dude, I don't know a single person outside of, like, a couple of people in my close circle that would ever listen to that. Now, would I listen to it? Hell yeah, I would. But that's, you know, there's no way it's the most popular show in their city. No way.
Well, just by law of numbers, because the majority are just probably not going to be into that. I mean, it might be really interesting, honestly, but...
Right. Well, and it's also, it was a late night show, which at first I thought it was, like, a morning show, but then I saw them getting there at night, and I was like, nobody
listens to the radio
and
stuff.
At night.
Yeah.
Like,
so it,
like, who the hell listens to the radio other than at drive time? You know what I mean? Like, I
right.
don't know that many
well,
people.
Well, I do.
Oh, well, that's awesome. But I don't know that many people in 2016 who listen to, you know, airwave radio outside of drive time, or maybe in their office, like, or something like that. Not very many people do. Most people are listening to, you know, 2016 styles of stuff. And now, don't get me wrong, this movie's not from 2016, but it's only from a few years ago. So it's not like radio was still, you know, booming like in the 80s and 90s. So, and
well,
even in the
well,
early
no.
2000s.
And because Clear Channel has taken over all the
right.
networks, like, it would be impossible for that to be a radio station just because
yeah.
they don't let you have originality like that. And they would definitely never approve a satanic
right. right. I mean,
talk show.
That's completely true. There's no way. There is really no way. So, but that aside, you know, it's just missing stuff over and over. And I mean, like, now, like, watching her unravel is not a bad thing. I think the premise of it is good. And I like Sherry Moon Zombie, and I'll be honest, just because I like to look at her. However, she's not a great actress, and she cannot carry a movie.
No.
You said that right away, like, there's no way she can carry a movie on her own, and really, it's on her own here. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know.
Yeah.
So I definitely
just,
agree.
She can't pull it off.
You wonder if the casting
has
been different.
You know that
she
only got the
yeah.
lead role because she's married to him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying, like, do you think if they had cast it differently, it could have been a better movie? You know, I mean, I don't know.
I think it could have been if they had tweaked it a little. Because, like, the first 30 minutes, I thought,
mm-hmm.
Crazy Witch opening aside, I thought the first 30 minutes were pretty strong. Because, you know, like, you see her in her, like, crazy 70s vibe outfit, even though it's
right.
supposed to be modern times. And you see her, you know, talking to her friends and, you know, her and the dude hanging out. And then you'll see those really good, creepy scenes of the witch being in, like, the bathroom, or the witch
mm-hmm.
being, like, on the counter above the, where the dog's being fed. And I'm like, I would have noticed the bitch in the room.
Right.
Like,
because,
like, her, the scene, she just barely misses her the few times that she pops up.
Yeah, which is that's kind of cool. The near miss is cool. Like, the fact that she just misses noticing her is probably part of what makes those scenes kind of effective. I think those scenes were very effective.
Like, right. That, all those scenes, and even her going down and drinking with the, what we later comes to be, well, I think it's pretty obvious that they're witches, honestly.
Right. Right, yeah.
But
well,
hanging out with Ben.
Happens, you definitely know. I mean, because when she leaves the room and they start bickering, you know damn well that they're trying, that, you know, they're part of the whole boards thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's all really strong until, I guess, like, when she starts coming unraveled is where the movie starts coming unraveled.
Yeah, that's true. You know, interestingly, I was thinking about the ending, the non-payoff payoff. So they have this concert, right, with the lords. And what's weird to me about this, that just struck me this time I watched it, is, you know, all the women in the audience start, like, ripping off their clothes and coming up forward and whatever. They're being controlled. And then at the end, you know, they're in a pile of dead bodies. My question here is, what about, like, were there no men at this concert? Like why? Because if it's a dark, you know, ominous metal, not metal, but, you know, it kind of fits in that world, why would there be no dudes at this concert? And if so, what happened to the dudes? You know?
Yeah. That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't think there's an explanation to it, and I'm not sure that...
It struck me. It's just what was necessary for that scene.
Right.
So there just weren't guys.
Sometimes I'm okay with,
he didn't
you know,
explain
like
it
that.
For us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and sometimes I'm okay with, like, scenes just being what they need to be and there being something unexplained. It just felt wrong and weird to me in that particular time. I don't remember noticing that in the beginning or thinking anything of it the first time I watched it, but this time I definitely thought of it. And, like, again, I think in general the movie just didn't play as well to me this time. And I'm not sure why it played as well to me last time. I think it had just come out on VOD, and I'd gotten a copy, and I think I might have watched it, you know, late at night in a dark house with no one else around, where the ominous tones kind of hit me more. So that's the only reason I think maybe it was more effective. But in general, I watched it this time, and I don't really know why. Like, I'm not really sure why I liked it more last time. So I went from, you know, a 3.5 star out of 5 to probably more like a 2.5 star out of 5. And I didn't hate the time, and I see, like, a lot of stuff in it that in a recut could be really worthwhile. But it's definitely, you know, it probably at best is a short film that can do the same thing without dragging it out.
Right.
So, I don't know. So I guess in short, I didn't love it.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I do own a copy, so I have already stashed it, but my selection would be no, I would trash it. Despite the fact that I own a copy, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to watch it again. But it is what it is. I own it already.
That's why you buy back DVDs.
Yeah. I tend to buy VOD stuff rather than rent it because I can usually find people selling codes for as cheap as a rental. I own it for that price. So, like, you know, I'm pretty sure if somebody was selling the Voodoo code, you know, on a website for $3.99 and the rental was, you know, $2.99, and I was like, okay, I'll buy it. But,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, I mean, I guess I already got my money's worth for watching it twice, you know?
Definitely. I was thinking the whole time I was watching this, man, if I had been in theaters, I'd be so pissed.
Yeah.
I guess you said you would trash it as well. So
definitely.
It's a double trasher here. I'm sorry. Sorry to say, Don. This is Don's selection, right? Yeah, he was unable to join us, but Donna. We're not big fans, unfortunately. I don't know what your take is on it, so hopefully you can share that with us this week and see why you selected
it. On the thread.
Yes, please. Please let us know on the thread why you chose it and what, you know, your thoughts on it are. And I do think it's a worthwhile watch. For anyone who's listening who hasn't watched it, I think you should watch it once. you know, you might want to Scott Rogers it for a little while and go on 1.5 speed. But it's definitely not a bad watch once, I think. There's some worthwhile stuff. And I definitely think you can see some of Rob Zombie's, you know, style in this. And I'm a big fan of his style, even though I've only seen a handful of his films at this point. Are you a fan of Rob Zombie in general? Well, yeah, I guess you're right. I haven't watched the Halloween stuff that he's done.
The Halloween movies aren't bad. Mm-hmm. I must confess, not a huge fan of John Carpenter's groundbreaking films.
I think it's okay. It's not by nowhere near my favorite Carpenter.
No, not mine at all. Like, I barely find it interesting. I mean, I get why, you know, when it came out and what it inspired and all that. I get,
right.
You know, its significance, but sure. Other than that, nah.
Man,
and then,
the
sequels were not
today.
Necessary.
We're going to both say that Halloween was okay. There's probably a lot of people going, what the fuck? I'm never going to listen to this thing anymore. But,
hey, I'm entitled to my own opinion.
You are certainly, but I agree with you, so. No, but I actually like Carpenter a lot, but I agree with you on that. But what did you think of Zombie's take on Halloween?
Zombie's take on Halloween is, it's not better. It's definitely a modernized take on it, if you will, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, Sherry Moon Zombie plays a stripper in it, so.
Oh, well, maybe I'll watch
right.
it. Oh, man. I'm glad my wife doesn't listen to this podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think she would care. She watches those movies with me sometimes. She wouldn't watch Halloween with me, but I don't even know if I would watch it. I do like the
I like,
House of Thousand Corpses and Devil Three Judges.
Me too. I like those movies. Halloween is iffy. I don't like Lords of Salem. So I guess I'm on the fence on Rob Zombie.
Yeah, and I mean, and he's got some stuff coming out that's non-horror. He's got a movie about the Broad Street Bullies, which is like the Philadelphia Flyer teams of the 70s coming out. And as
really?
A Philly guy, yeah, as a Philly guy, I'm intrigued by that. And they were known as like kind of, they were called the Broad Street Bullies because they were like kind of thugs. They were all enforcers and they played real physical hockey. And it's kind of like a team that Philly will always resonate with because it's very much a working class city and a, you know, you got to fight for every inch kind of city. So I think that's
right.
Why people resonate with it. That's why people resonate with Rocky, you know, here in this city. Why he's become basically, I mean, when Sylvester Stallone comes out to an event, they don't introduce him as Sylvester Stallone. They introduce him as Rocky. So, you know, like that's just the way it is here in Philly. But,
okay.
So, yeah, so I'm intrigued to see how that goes. I know he has some other stuff lined up too, but I guess, you know, at this point, yeah, I'm probably half and half on him. Well, I guess I've only really seen three of his things, so I'm two-thirds in on him, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, I think that the first two films, you know, the House of Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects are really strong films. House of Thousand Corpses, to me, is, you know, this generation's Texas Chainsaw. And that's not as groundbreaking or anything, but, I mean, in the way
of
the whole
vein.
Story. Yeah, definitely. And then Devil's Rejects, to me, is not even... I mean, it's horror in that it's associated, but to me, it's really more of a road movie, you know.
It is, just them running from the law.
Right, it's kind of
like
you know, Bonnie and Clyde with these, you know, horrific horror-type monster killers, you know.
It's
a little Natural Born Killers-esque as well. It's definitely a feel like that to me. So, nonetheless, so Rob Zombie, we're both, you know, kind of in on, but not this film, so... I guess it is what it is. So before, you know, we wrap up, I know we're going to be a little shorter again this week just because we don't have a ton of time, but what have you been watching, reading into lately?
I've been playing the Telltale game, The Wolf Among Us.
Okay.
And if you don't know anything about it, there are these DC Vertigo comics called Fables that take place, like, in modern-day time, but, like, the fairy tales are... living in the city, kind of. So, like, the wolf among us refers to the big bad wolf, who's actually the sheriff in Fairy or Fable Town.
Interesting.
And there's a string of murders, and he's trying to figure out who's to blame.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
It's really fucking good. Like, all Telltale games are, like, minimal gameplay, so if you're not a big gamer, and they're not hard. But the story unfolds, and it's like a TV show almost, and they're even called seasons. And episodes, but it's really fucking good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed interesting it. I've never played anything on Telltale. I only know anything about what Telltale games are in. I don't even know what the hell exactly it is. So maybe you can explain that to me, but when I purchase things from Humble Bundle, I've actually have Telltale codes, and I don't know what they mean. So I'm not really sure what that is all about. What is Telltale for anyone else who's like me and not a gamer and has no idea what the hell it is?
Well, Telltale refers to the publisher, who made it.
Okay.
But there's a Minecraft story mode, which is like a narrative for Minecraft.
Okay, I do have played. I have played that. Yeah, I have played Minecraft story mode. Okay.
Yeah, so they made one of those, and then made a Game of Thrones game.
Okay.
And they've made what else? They've made a Jurassic Park game that was like their first game, I think.
Huh.
And what else have they made?
They made
The Walking Dead. They have two excellent Walking Dead games.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, it sounds like they're pretty cool. And you said there's a lot of this narrative?
Yeah. So, like, the Walking Dead ones they do are different stories than what's going on in the show, or even in the comics, I think. There might be some of the similar stuff. I've not really read the comics just yet, so don't hold me to that. But anyway, they also made one that is focused solely on, like, Michonne's backstory.
Okay.
So, it's good stuff. They do really good games, especially if you're just kind of a casual gamer.
Definitely sounds like the kind of game that I like to get into. So, maybe I'll have to check out those Steam codes that I got for Telltale stuff. And I forget what games they are, but I know there's one or two that were listed as Telltale. So, I don't, when you said that, it came familiar to me.
Yeah, and Wolf Among Us is free with Games with Gold on Xbox One right now.
Cool.
There's no reason to not check it out if you're a gamer anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or unless you don't have Xbox One like me, but I'll find a way to check it out. So that sounds because it sounds up my alley. That sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, it's kind of like detective story meets kind of old. I don't know. It just sounds really cool to me. So
like,
I definitely
the decisions.
Think that.
Yeah, and each decision, like, has a dramatic effect down the line type game.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Awesome. And, well, so for me, I actually caught up a couple. I watched two more David Lynch films. I watched Elephant Man and Blue Velvet. And so.
Okay, Elephant Man's not one of his horror films.
No, it's not at all. Not in any
way.
It's a great
movie.
In fact, he was. I was reading up. Well, so I've been reading Lynch on Lynch as I'm getting to each movie, so his chapters on each one of the things he's done. And with Elephant Man, he was actually a little nervous about not showing the Elephant Man's face until he did. Like, he held off for a while. He was nervous about doing that because he was afraid it was going to make too much of a horror tone to the film. So he almost revealed – that's why there's, like, partial reveals before the full reveal, because he didn't want it to feel like you're leading up to this horrific moment. And it is a little horrifying, but I guess, it didn't want it to be a horror film, and he was afraid it would be, because even though Eraserhead's not considered technically horror, it's a horror film to me.
Come on, Eraserhead is definitely a horror movie.
I agree, but, it depends on who's categorizing it, people always argue, but it's definitely, at very least, horror adjacent. It's freaking creepy. So he knew that he didn't want to be labeled as a horror guy.
It might be a little late for that, David.
Yeah, I know. But interestingly, so then I get into Blue Velvet, and Blue Velvet was a fan, or is, not was, but is a fantastic. So that was my first watch, and you had said it's one of your favorites, like, of all time.
Yep.
Yeah, and definitely I get why. That film, really cool, like, neo-noir, mystery, really, really interesting. And Dennis Hopper is one of the scariest motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't he?
Oh, my God. Like, dude, like his scenes were scarier than any fucking horror movie I've watched in a while. Like, oh, my God. And then to realize how fucked up it's made his, his lover, and how she's all kind of fucking into it.
Yeah, you know, she's a weird one, Isabella Rossellini.
She really is. Really, really messed up movie, but in a great way. And having watched only little snippets of Twin Peaks stuff, never the movie, but like the show, which I heard the movie is awful compared to the show, that I could see where the Twin Peaks concepts kind of came from, because he's definitely flirting with that stuff, and even similar, I guess some overlap actors as well.
So,
the lead in Blue Velvet's in Twin Peaks, is he not?
He is the lead of Twin Peaks.
He's the lead of Twin Peaks. Okay, cool. So I get that.
That is Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes, Kyle MacLachlan. Yes. And he was fantastic in the movie. Actually, I thought all the acting performances in that film were great. That's definitely a film that I'm glad I went the route of purchasing instead of renting, because I found it for only a couple bucks more than a rental would have been. And I'm really glad I did. I actually was able to find a Criterion DVD of it before they... Yeah, so I'm pretty stoked.
I'm a big Criterion collector.
Okay. Awesome. Have you ever used the streaming service Fandor?
The what?
Streaming service Fandor.
I've not.
I only thought of it because they do a weekly Criterion set, and it's always like a theme. Like this week is it's basically like girls fucking up the system. I forget the exact official title, but it's like, you know, kind of a girl power like thing. And it's got like Czech New Wave Davies in it, and what's the other thing? I can't think of the other one. But a couple other films that are really interesting to me. In this week, but they what I like about it is Fandor is like a curated thing, so like it's not like Hulu where you can get every Criterion collection like Hulu does, but on the other hand, it kind of directs you, like, you know, what you should check out. So I really dig it as a service. It's $9 a month, I think, and I got into it late summer maybe. And I took the 30-day trial just to check it, and then I ended up being like, yeah, I'm going to keep this. So that's a service I recommend to anyone listening as well. In addition, just because they had given us some gifts to give out, Grindhouse Channel as a service is actually in the process of finishing their upgrade, and they're moving on to a whole new platform. So it's going to be like way more user-friendly and adding a lot more movies. So that's definitely something to check out, especially since it's only like $3.99 a month, and you can get your, I think you can get like a 2-week trial for free. So that's definitely worth checking out for anyone else listening as well. Maybe wait another week or two till the upgrade's finalized, but they're going to be launching their new Roku channel, like the upgraded Roku channel, I think this week or maybe next, and they're adding channels to like a lot of the other streaming, media players soon, so, you know, something to keep your eye out for. So I'm a movie streamer, obviously, so, you know,
right.
But that's really it for me, like David Lynch stuff. I've watched a lot of other stuff, but I'll leave it with that so I don't ramble on forever. Anything else you'd want to plug or mention before we roll, Anna?
I look forward to me plugging something pretty big, I would say, next week. But not just yet.
Okay. Well, we got a little teaser going here. And I don't know what it is either, everyone. So, you know, it's a teaser for all of us. And for me, I'll just, you know, continue to plug, you know, check out our website. I say R because Anna writes for it as well. My website, farsightedblog.com. Definitely please rate and review this podcast so we can get some more hits. But more than the podcast, we really want you to come on out and check out the Reddit thread, our Reddit subreddit, which is r/horrorclub. You know, we're really trying to just build up the conversations there again. We had some really good conversations the last few weeks, and, you know, more the merrier, you know, so please come on out.
Definitely. Come and join.
All right. Well, take care, Anna, and I'll see everybody next week.
Definitely.